who knows where we'll go. Well, good morning. Oh, gosh, we're roaring here this morning, aren't we? Thank you. Here we are again. Let me add my welcome to Holy Trinity this morning. How good it is when we meet together to worship God. It's a great blessing that we can do that. Well, last week we dwelt a while in Deuteronomy 28, and we were reminded of the great blessings that God rains down on us if we place all that we are in Him. We remembered that all that we are comes from the God of blessing, and that our appropriate, thankful response is to offer all that we are back to our God of blessing, and that He will count us under His name and use us for His glory. It's the greatest gift of all life to be counted under the name of the Most High God. I am Ben of God. That's Ben of God. I think I saw Mark of God back there somewhere as well, but you get the drift. We are all of God. It's an extraordinary blessing. And during our time last week, we also agreed that each one of us would increase our financial giving to this church by at least 18.4%. Okay, so I made that last one up. And actually, if you haven't yet started giving to the church, don't worry, because 18.4% of nothing is precisely nothing, and I haven't committed you to anything. But I would love you to prayerfully consider your giving and commit financially to this church. Love that. It's an angel somewhere. Do you know, I could speak with that going on the whole time. I found that quite soothing, actually. Pray about what God is saying, because God will lead you. He will direct your hand. He does direct your paths. He does lay it all out before you. It's not between you and me. It's not between you and the church. It's between you and God. Now, this business of the common fund. The common fund is the name of that which we as the Church of England, a Church of England church, give to the whole body of the Church of England. Okay, it's part and parcel of our worship. Don't separate financial giving and worship, prayer and worship, service and worship. It's all one thing. It's worship. We are giving worth-ship to God in all of our actions. And we are an Anglican Church of England church. We are. Some of you might not feel that whose we've been, but I'm saying very clearly right now, that's who we are. And actually, we hold a hugely profound and prophetic role in speaking life, love, gospel truth, and vibrancy to the Church of England at large. Let me tell you, I've just spent the last 2 days at Buckfast Abbey, which is the most beautiful place, on a piece of diocesan training, and I felt like the stranger in the room. You know, there are 20 new clergy gathered there for training. I think 3 of us managed to speak about Jesus at some point. You know, so consumed are we with buildings, programs, gathering, this, that, and the other. And when asked, where are we at right now? What's going on in our life right now? Any one of us could create an extraordinary list of all the things we've got to do. But every one of us is required to remember that the only place we can be is at the foot of the cross. It all happens from the foot of the cross. There is no other place in all the world, in heaven and earth, where there is no shadow. The radiance of the cross just casts light. And part of my role in sitting in training rooms like that, where I would rather, frankly, be doing things that are illegal to my body, probably, you know, is to speak truth into the church, is to constantly come back to a God of love, is to constantly say that I am rooted in Jesus. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we're called to. And actually, we're going to do that as a church through this thing called the Common Fund. Let me just give you a quick example that the Common Fund contributes to the cost of your vicar. So that's me then, thank you. It contributes to their home, their welfare, their training, this building, training across the wide and vast ministries of the Church of England, and it contributes to the whole mission and ministry of the Church of England. If the Church of England were rotten to the core, the Lord would not let it stand. I really believe that. So when we say we are part of the one church, the Church of England, and that's all churches, there is only one church, there is only one God, we happen to be gathering within the Church of England. But we need to support that. That's what we're doing here today. The other elements of this is that the Church of England will not survive without a system that helps uphold some of its structure. We're not going to agree with all of its structure, okay, friends? Let's just be honest about that. We're not going to. But we're jolly well going to fight for this part of its structure. We would not survive without the Common Fund. Every other church community, if you ask their leaders, would say that a centralized system for supporting it, if you're a big, vast monster like the Church of England can be, can work when honored as an act of worship. The other thing that our contribution to the Common Fund does, it helps other churches throughout the country. Actually, our Common Fund doesn't pay for me. Ours supports somewhere else. Somebody else supports us. It's a lovely way of mutual leadership, of mutual worship, of mutual support. That's what we're doing here. And it's sacrificial. It's sacrificial giving. And it is the route that we will support, and we'll do that at this time. As long as we believe that God is with our church, we will do that. And if for any reason you're at odds with that, then can I encourage you to come and talk to me? Don't wag. Lead, come and talk to me. Let me gently try to persuade you that this is a good thing. But to help with this, we've joined something called the Parish Giving Scheme. This is an incentive, a way of working, a scheme that came from the Diocese of Gloucester. It was born where I was working before, and it's now been adopted as a national initiative. And the Parish Giving Scheme is a way that you can give to this church. If you use this method of giving, it doesn't go to the Church of England. It goes to us for us to honour the Church of England and our ministry. But this is a really great way of working. Tammy and I have used this scheme personally for a number of years to manage our financial giving to the church. And we will both be available at the back of church afterwards and really happy to answer any questions about it at all. Now, we've got packs with us. I've actually got 50 packs with me this morning. And we have prayed over these packs. We've done that personally. We've done it during prayer ministry this morning. And I believe that God's written the name of people on these packs. I believe he has. And there are 50 of them. And if you feel during the course of this service that actually it's time you wanted to support this church financially, then can I encourage you to come and take one? It's totally between you and God. But if you need help understanding the form or walking through it, I will gladly do that with you. Let me just quickly highlight the value of this scheme. First of all, it's on a direct debit basis, which you have total control over. You can tick a box which keeps your identity totally anonymous from the church. So it's private, as giving should be. You can choose an option that lets your giving increase with inflation linked to the annual retail price index, the RPI. So you don't have to worry about that if you don't want to. You don't have to tick that option. You can start or stop it at any time. But in all seriousness, today is the day to start. And one of the greatest benefits for the church finance team, that's Jerry and Julie in the office, is that if you are a taxpayer, the 25% extra that we can reclaim on your gift is done automatically for us quicker than we can do it ourselves. So it actually helps our cash flow massively. So that means that if you're a taxpayer, for every £10 a month you give, we receive £12.50, and we receive it in a matter of days. If you give £100 a month, we receive £125. I often like to position this. You know, if you give a can of beans to something, you get 25% more beans. It's great. And we get this done automatically for us. And that really does release a burden on Jerry and on Julie. And they have a multitude of other things, bless you, that we're already asking you to do. A quick reminder that we are in the region of £11,000 short of where we need to be at the end of this year. And so all I can ask you to do is pray about your own financial position and let God guide you in your giving to this church. Please commit to do that. And Tammy and I will be waiting with parish giving packs at the back of church, and I heartily commend this resource to you. I believe it's the best way to give to our church in this present climate. And if you already give, then can I encourage you, feel free to transfer over to this scheme. It's just as easy as a standing order. In fact, you probably have more control over it. So please do come and get one of these packs also. But in the immortal words of Jesse J, it's not about the money, money, money. And she goes on to say, we're paying with love tonight. And that's a pretty good place to join Paul in 2 Corinthians 6. So let's turn together to page 1162 of our church Bibles. Here we go, friends. Open our hands, round two. Ding, ding. Open our hearts. So sometimes we go into the detail in a passage. Sometimes it's a little more broad brush. This is going to be a bit more broad whole life application. So let's pray. So Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. And our desire is to glorify your name in all the earth. Would you help us see this morning how precious and loved we are, how much you love us to join in with your work, and how we can open our hearts wider to the goodness of your love, and how we can open our hearts wider to the work of your church. Amen. God's co-workers. God's fellow workers. God's co-workers. What's in a name? Well, in this passage, we are called God's co-workers or God's fellow workers. Not co-funders, interestingly, but holding that all that I've just said about money in its rightful place, God's co-workers. There are so many great names for those who do God's work. Servants, pastors, teachers, preachers, elders, deacons, vicars, bishops, and more. But here in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, Paul says, co-workers with God. God's fellow workers. And it's an awesome thing to think about. Throughout Paul's teaching and preaching, he sees himself as a co-worker, a fellow worker with Jesus Christ. And Paul is not alone in this. The passage uses the term we, not I. And so Paul explicitly sees us all of us who serve and know Jesus Christ, as co-workers with him. So there you go, friends. We have this amazing job and privilege of being God's co-workers. And I love this. You see, I love this because God doesn't need us. He didn't need Paul. It's just that he loves us to work together with him for our good. He doesn't need us, but he delights in inviting us to join in with what he is doing. He delights to use us for his purposes. He delights in us. God delights in you. Hear that this morning, if nothing else. You are a delight to God. And it's for his glory and our good. Two stories. I once attended a day conference run by a diocese. It was about being called into ministry. The name and places of the event have been withheld or changed to protect those who should have known better. As I walked in, there was a great big banner strung across the room and it said, God needs you. Sometimes I wish I could step away from the blue touch paper. I walked up to the very identifiable clergy person and said, "No, he doesn't." And the now very bemused clergy person looked at me vacantly and said, "Sorry?" I said, "Thank you, me too," and I left. You know, God doesn't need us, but he delights in us. He delights in us joining in with his purposes for our good. Have you ever tried to wash your car with your child, or maybe one you've taken on loan from the local library? You don't need your child to wash the car with you, but the journey together, the working it out, the fun, the getting soaked, even the deep scratches, transform it into something bigger, different, other, more glorious. So I believe it is with God, scratches and all. God wants us to work together with him for our good. God's co-workers. And this word, workers, is itself hugely important. We are called into work. Those of you who are retired, bless you. But those of you who are retired, I know you're working harder than ever. God's best for us is not to lay about with a lack of purpose and direction. God's best for us is not curled up on the sofa with him watching a good film, however lovely that might sound. God's best for us is to labor in the field with him. In fact, in his field. Think echoes of Ruth and Boaz. God's best for us is to turn our hands to his creation and all those who are in his creation. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Up front and center in the word of God, I'm putting you to work. The biblical directive to work is clear. And it's why we find such satisfaction in a good day's work. It taps directly into the created order of our lives. It taps into our purposes. Similarly, it's a contributing factor to why we have unprecedented levels of mental health challenges in a world no longer shaped by working the ground. Just this week, the government announced prescribing gardening over antidepressant drugs. Because gardening is more powerful than antidepressant drugs. How about that? And I'm not saying office job equals bad, field work equals good. It's just really interesting how many of us need exposure to the freedom of God's earthy creation to feel truly alive. Coincidence? I don't think so. One last thing on God's co-workers. Now, this is really nuanced, so hold lightly, but it is the truth, and listen well. We are workers together with him. Paul never said, God works together with us. Now, he does say in Romans 8:28, and we know this well, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It isn't our work that God helps us with. It's his work that he asks us to do together with him for our good. So instead of trying to get God to help us with our work, our plans, we need to find out what God's work and plans are and join in together with him. In that way lies a path of satisfaction and freedom. God's best for us, his very best for us, is to join together with him in whatever he is doing, and it's for his glory and our good. Right, we best finish verse 1 or we'll be here all day. So it says, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. To receive God's grace in vain is to hear but do nothing. To hear but fail to respond. The Corinthian church has heard. And do you know what? It has responded in part, but it's now drifting. How easy is it to drift? It's to receive but not to act, to let it drop away. And the Corinthian church was failing to act. It's to be offered the gift and the name of co-worker, fellow worker, and yet not work. How are we as Trinity Church receiving and responding to this? I can think of multiple ministries in our church that desperately need co-workers. They desperately need people to join in to enable that ministry to flourish. You know, two off the top of my head, one this afternoon, Messy Church, would love to have you as a co-worker. Interface on a Saturday morning would love to have you as a co-worker. And there are many, many more, and we'll speak more into that next week, so make sure you're here. But to receive God's grace in vain is to be blessed with God's riches and not to share them. Again, how are we handling and honouring the blessings and riches we have received from God? And Paul draws on this quote from Isaiah 49:8, and he says, now is the time, friends. God's favour is with us now. God's salvation is upon us now. And I say that is still the truth. God is still with us, in us, through us, for us. And so, give from all that you have now. Turn your hand to God's work now. Come and live under that beautiful name of God now. Come and join in God's glorious work now. Co-workers, come now. And these words are not spoken in anger or frustration, but they are an exhortation. They are a giant encouragement to come on in. The water is lovely. And so Paul lays out his testimony of the power of Jesus Christ alive in him. And verses 3 to 10 are kind of like Paul's resume. They're his CV of the power of Christ at work in him. And it's a CV of a co-worker with God and all of the benefits Christ has won for him. Verse 3 is saying, live in such a way as your ministry will not be discredited. In other words, live as God's co-workers, not his commander. Let nothing you do cause anyone else to stumble. Co-workers, not commanders. And immediately, all I can do at that point is put my hand up and say, guilty. Guilty as charged. I get it wrong every single day. But Christ in me, the hope of glory, makes it right every single day. And so if I have caused you to stumble, then I'm sorry. I am. And all I can pray is that, Lord, you would help us be your co-workers, not your commanders. Verse 4 to 10 lists the full array of trials, troubles, and tribulations that anyone could imagine. Even though we face troubles, hardship, distress, beating, imprisonment, riot, hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. Anybody have much of that this week? Remember, this is a message to the whole worldwide church. And let me tell you, there are churches this morning who are facing rioting, beating, hunger, distress, abandonment, and more. So as one church under one God, let's pray over them right now. Because we are one church in Christ. Father, we have brothers and sisters across this world who are persecuted for their love of you. There are churches set on fire. There are people brutalized and killed. And suddenly, for your kingdom and for your glory, feels very uncomfortable. And maybe it is. But would you bless our brothers and sisters in countries where they fear to speak your name? Would you bless them, Lord, with the church that it would grow? Would you bless them with everything they need to thrive, not just survive? Would you bless them with the truth of your word? Would you uphold them with your love? Would you make all things new in them because you are Christ in us, the hope of glory? Amen. And despite all of this, through all of this, Paul is saying, even through this, as God's co-workers, we shall remain in purity, understanding, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, truthful speech, and in the power of God. We are really, really good at in sincere love. God is calling us in sincere love. Don't let your love be insincere. Make it count. Make it work hard. But we're called to sincere love, truthful speech, and the power of God. We need more of that, Father. Would you send more of that Spirit on us? Lead us, direct us, shape us. Because it's all about you. It's all about God. And in case you ever miss this, oh, how he loves us. Just hold. We're going to have a moment of quiet. And just breathe that in. How he loves me. And again, let's breathe that right in. How he loves me. And as God's co-workers, we shall be defended with weapons of righteousness in the right hand. So that's your sword hand, that which you strike forward with. And in the left, that's your shield hand, that which you block and protect with. And there will be glory and dishonor, bad reports and good, genuine and impostor, known and unknown, dying yet alive, beaten but not yet killed, sad yet standing in joy, poor yet sharing all God's riches, having nothing and possessing everything. Friends, between us, we possess every good thing that we need to thrive for God's kingdom and God's glory. We do. We've got it all here. We just have to use it and share it. And people say that the Bible is irrelevant and boring in today's world. Glory, dishonor, bad report, good, genuine, imposter, known, unknown, dying yet alive, beaten yet not killed, sad yet standing in joy, poor yet sharing all God's riches. I might just as well have read tomorrow morning's news headlines. The battle is on, friends. Make no mistake. But we are on the victor's side. What a relief. And the call to work in the field is as loud now as it was then. And the name of co-worker is bestowed upon us by God. So how will we respond? And here comes the punchline. Remembering that this passage from Paul is being spoken to the church in Corinth. And here we are, the church in Barnstable. Verse 11, we have spoken freely to you, Holy Trinity Church and people of Barnstable. and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, my intimate family. Open wide your hearts also. Will you dare to open wide your heart to God? Will you dare accept the role, the title of co-worker? Will you dare respond to God's call to work and to give from your all? Because if you will, if, rewind to last week, we will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. That's blessed in Barnstable and blessed in Bickington. If we dare to open wide our hearts and stand as God's co-workers, if, then the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouses of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless the work of our hands. He will meet our needs and more. Remember that when asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Love the Lord your God with all your heart wide open." All of it. We're called to open wide our hearts and everything that follows. So as the worship band return to lead us, we're going to pray. As for purity, purify us, Lord. As for heart, would you enlarge our hearts, O Lord? As for love, give us an abundance. As for all our needs, financial, physical, spiritual, mental, ethereal, open the storehouses of your bounty. As for us, your co-workers, we choose to be holy. As for you, O Lord, you are mighty. And you are our God, and we are your people. So would you refine us, O Lord. Refine us, Father, in your fire. Can I just invite you to wait a while and let the music wash over you? Listen to what God is saying. He is speaking. Feel able, we're going to join together in worshiping the Almighty God.